We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Recipes to the Queen, Tina Turner, helping us celebrate. Mike Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Got to see Philly yesterday. Mike, what up, buddy? How you doing?
It was a great day. Good weather. Everybody's excited. First day of practice opened us. I feel like everybody had a little pep in their step.
I agree, dude. And I think OTAs can be a slog, right? And training camp can be a slog. Like, eventually it just becomes mundane and day after day and hot and whatever else. But I think when you got a young quarterback, it breathes serious air into it. And I think getting to watch Howell, getting to watch the good throws, getting to watch the dumb throws, and getting to watch Brissett, who there's no real competition here, but I think you'd be silly if you don't think Brissett ends up playing this year. Just look across the league. Almost every year, almost every team, the number two guy plays. But I think having quarterbacks to watch and evaluate adds a ton of life to OTAs. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to the slog point. Don't you worry. We'll be there. It'll still get hot. I'm really glad we got the joint practices in Baltimore. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. We've really been missing that these last few years. I know I'm not breaking any news there, but everybody's been missing that. And Ron knows, too. Ron's been trying to put that together for a while. Really glad we've got that. No, I mean, Brissett looks good. I'm not here to start a quarterback controversy because there's not one. Sam Howell's running out of the tunnel to start week one. But, yeah, you nailed it. Nobody's gone broke betting the over on how many quarterbacks this team plays in a year. 17 weeks, it's a long season. You need a number two who's ready to go, and I don't think anybody would dispute he's a number two who's absolutely ready to jump in when it's time, and I don't think there will be a massive drop-off.
I don't know if you agree with this. I believe they found kind of good opposites in a way, because we don't know what Howell's going to be, but I think if there's a reason he lands on the bench, it's going to be turnover related. I think he's a pretty accurate passer. I think he can make all the throws, but if they can't trust him, it's because he's throwing the ball to the other team. I even think we saw a little glimpse of that yesterday with a bad throw in 7-on-7. We saw that in the Dallas game where he was really impressive. He also had a pick. He also had a fumble. They recovered it, but turnovers will be the issue. With Brissett, if they have to go to Brissett, it's because Howell's turning it over too much. And with Brissett, there's not going to be a lot of wow moments, but he also doesn't turn it over. I think Brissett's kind of an Alex Smith light. Do you see that kind of functionality between the two?
Yeah, and I think the defense is good enough. You can afford to do that. I really do think this defense is good this year, and we'll certainly pick up where they left off last year. I think you got to get your running game going if you're going to do that. That's still a question mark to me. We saw Eric Bieniemy spending a lot of time with Antonio Gibson yesterday. He's going to be more of a running back type guy this year, I think. You know, I think there's going to be less of the Scott Turner, let's get five guys out in space. I think you're going to see a lot more just straight running the ball as part of this playbook. And I think Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, both very much will be a part of that. I have not written Antonio Gibson off at any point. I think he's still very much an NFL caliber talent. I know some people have soured on him for whatever reason. I'm still firmly on the Antonio Gibson train. I think he puts up good numbers this year. I think he's a major part of this offense.
Dude, the people that have soured on Gibson, I don't understand. His first 2 years in the NFL, he went for 2,400 yards from scrimmage with 21 touchdowns. And last year, where his role was reduced by the arrival of Brian Robinson, and where, frankly, I think the team felt they had to feed Robinson to validate the draft pick, he still went for 900 yards from scrimmage with 5 touchdowns. I'm with, like, for the fantasy people out there, if Gibson is like a late round or like a double-digit round guy, I would like that. I liked seeing some of the Bieniemy creativity yesterday. We saw that one throw in the red zone where it was like a Gibson slant, basically, from he was lined up in the backfield, moved to the line, went outside, and then broke back inside. I think we'll see a lot of that. What do you make of Bieniemy's creativity coming from KC and the Andy Reid offense and how much of an immediate impact it can make in D.C.?
Right. I think that's what you're betting on here. When you spend the offseason you just spent, they didn't go big on offense. There were no splash plays on offense. I'm certainly not counting Brissett as one. There were no major draft moves made. There were no, with all due respect to the two offensive linemen they brought in, there wasn't a big overhaul or a big splashy play there. Eric Bieniemy was your big splashy offseason signing. And on paper, you can justify that pretty easily, right? This is a team that finished one game out of the playoffs last year. All they needed to do was beat the Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants, and they had two cracks at the Giants, too. That's all they needed to do to make the playoffs, and I think we can all agree, I think you'd agree with me, the offense was a big part of the reason why they did not win those three games. And so you say, look, we had a team that was almost a playoff team. If this coach can make us one game better offensively, we're a playoff football team. I don't think one game's the number they're looking for. I think they're looking to be two games better. I think they're looking to be, a 10-win team with Eric Bieniemy and a strong defense. I don't know if they'll get there. I would personally bet against it at this point probably, but it's sound logic. Hey, the offense was what was holding us back. We went and got the best guy we could find. We don't need to do anything with personnel because this guy will make us better.
I agree with you. I think Bieniemy has said over and over, comfort is the enemy of progress. I think this team should be uncomfortable after more or less just consistent mediocrity for some time. Talking with our friend Mike Phillips from Richmond, Michael P. RTD on Twitter. Richmond Times-Dispatch does a great job covering the team. How much better do you think they can honestly get? Because are we ignoring the offensive line situation? They had a beat-up interior last year. You've got guys with injury history on the interior now. How different is this realistically? Yesterday you said it was blue skies. Howell made some good throws. But what are we really going to see?
And we don't see the offensive line until really training camp. I know in mini camp they can do some things, but I never walk away from a mini camp practice ready to draw conclusions about the offensive line. That's going to come much later in the process. And I'm as guilty as anybody on this, JP. I wrote off offensive line concerns last year. I was on your program and said, hey, what about the offensive line? They got Matsko. They're fine. Like, look at Matsko's track record. Like, he's MacGyver, man. Like, he takes five paper clips, turns it into an offensive line. Like, it didn't happen. We finally hit the point where there just wasn't enough talent there, period, to get the job done. And you're correct. Injuries were a very major part of that, obviously. But they finally hit that point where there just wasn't enough talent to get it done. And unlike the Scott Turner to Eric Bieniemy swap, which I think any rational fan sees as an upgrade, and rightfully so, I don't think you have a similar upgrade on the offensive line. Now, Eric Bieniemy has a rushing back. His background's in the run game. Obviously, his play as a running back speaks for itself as well. He knows offensive line. But Matsko was a dude. He was a very good position coach. He was a very good offensive line coach. And we saw Juan Castillo, the tight ends coach, working with those guys yesterday. Travell Wharton's going to be there. Those are not household names yet. And those are not guys who you say, they can get better with a coaching upgrade here. Maybe there's some schemes Bieniemy is bringing in, but I think on the whole, this is not an offensive line that is going to get better on the coaching switch. I think that's the skill positions when you're talking there. And so I do have concerns about this group, and I think it's probably more of a long-term concern than a short-term concern. And I'll come back to Charles Leno. It doesn't bother me at all that Charles Leno wasn't there yesterday. I think he does know the scheme. I think he'll be fine. My concern with Charles Leno was he faded hard down the stretch.
I wonder if he was hurt. I've kind of asked that a bunch. The last four games, I mean, if you want to say he got beat by Micah Parsons and Nick Bosa, I get it. But Kayvon Thibodeau had four sacks on the year, and two of them were game-changing sacks against Leno and the Skins, the Commanders.
And you've got to prepare for those injuries and eventualities, too. So whatever it was, I think it would be a mistake to write down in pen right now, Charles Leno, left tackle, 17 games. He's a gamer. He's got that Morgan Moses in him, right, where he's gonna suit up every week. But there's a time, and it's going to come because this is professional football, where you're going to need another option there. You're going to need to shuffle there. And, I mean, isn't that the critique of this group, right? They got, like, nine guys who are listed as guard slash tackle, but they've actually got eight guards in Charles Leno?
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the big man, Mitch Tischler, screams about the position flex on the line when you just don't have real tackles. And we'll see, because Wiley's a guy that's played a whole bunch of different stuff, too. Talking with our friend Mike Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. You can give him a follow at Michael P. RTD. Haven't heard from you on Chase Young. What do you think about him missing practice? I am in the not great, but also not a big deal camp. I know there are others in the this is a huge deal, and yet others in the who cares. Where are you?
I'm in not a big deal camp. I think it's very expected. I think when you decline a guy's fifth-year option, I think you fully expect that that's what you're going to get coming into it. For all intents and purposes, he is in a contract year now. I know they'll have, you know, tag options and whatnot, but he's in a contract year. What I would want to know is, at any point, how serious did the discussions get around trading him? That's what I would be very curious to know. Obviously, you know, that's a discussion that happened inside the building. Was there any chance you could get value there? Was there any look at trading him going into this year and potentially getting another piece for somewhere else? I would have been very curious about that possibility. That said, I sparred with Grant and Danny about this a few weeks ago. He's still Chase Young. He's still a physical beast who can wreck football games, and he's still like it's a small highlight reel. But dang if it isn't a really impressive highlight reel of things he's done against NFL football players. And if there's even a small chance that you can get back to that this year, that is 100% worth whatever headaches you encounter to get there.
Yeah, you and I are on the same side with that. I mean, I remember when we were in Arizona for the Super Bowl, and Ron kind of alluded to it. We were on the 16th green, I think, when you rolled up, and we were like, what the bleep? That was in between shotgun and beers. But anyway, I agree with you on the Chase thing. I think, dude, I said this when they didn't pick it up. The last first-rounder here whose option they didn't pick up is Josh Doctson, and they released him before the end of training camp. So I'm not saying to expect that, but the road this is now on is not a good one, man, and people got to be aware of that.
So the big what if on Sam Howell is, right, what if he doesn't play against the Cowboys? What if they try Heinicke out there? Like, what does this offseason look like? Do they really try to sell us on Howell without him having beaten the Cowboys? The same hypothetical with Chase Young. Like, is it different if he plays seven games down the stretch last year? If there's more there. I think everybody was just so soured by that finish. And he had some good snaps in San Francisco, but – you know, he looked like a guy coming back from a really major injury other than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Talking with our friend Mike Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, let's get to some of the fun, funky stuff. Where should we start? What'd you make of the language coming out about the sale from Minnesota? I didn't find much of it surprising. I think if you want to be skeptical, there was ammunition for skepticism. If you want to be optimistic, I think there was reason for optimism.
JP, I'm just going to out myself as a moron here to the group. I may have placed a bet on the Miami Heat to win the series when they were up 3-0. that's fading hard right now, and it's causing me to second guess a lot of things. Still three games left, though. I feel all right about this. Celtics aren't coming back. This is far more of a sure thing than that was. This is a 3-0 lead in a seven-game series, and it's not. I mean, what percentage chance would you give that this thing wraps up, you know, in pretty soon? I mean, to me, it's upper 90s.
Philly, here's where I land. I have a trip planned with my family to go to the beach in July in North Carolina.
I'm going to need those dates because we all know how that ends.
July 10th through the 15th. I'm going to bring my radio equipment, and I'm probably going to have to fly back to D.C. or wherever the hell the meeting is going to be, frankly.
Thank you for providing that certainty to the rest of us. You know, that is any time you schedule a family vacation, 100% chances team.
Chris Russell somewhere screaming in agreement. I agree with you on the sale. What do you make of the Brian Davis wackiness? Thank goodness for this judge.
He, in like 10 years, he's going to be like, we're going to be at some trivia night somewhere. You know, we're going to be running, you know, a trivia night, and that's going to be an answer, and we'll all get a chuckle out of the Brian Davis answer. What was the lawsuit? $500 billion? Was that, what was the ask?
$500 billion cut down to $999,000, which is a pretty significant cut.
Good on him, man, keeping himself in the news. I thought when Apostle Apollos came on the scene, I was like, all right, we've got our, like, wacky fringe character here. Like, we've got our Kramer, and he got out Kramered pretty quickly there by Brian Davis. I think he's going to be that'll be a name to drop for years to come. I'm more curious, like, to me, the urgency of getting it done is just for week one. Like, I don't think there's any urgency beyond you need the new owner there for week one for kickoff. Like, anything else is just window dressing. And then doing it in Minnesota, like, I mean, they get to make another event out of this. It's the NFL. Like, we had schedule release night. Like, you think they're not going to make a date on the calendar and bring the national media in to tout Josh Harris and this new ownership? Like, give them another event, man. Like, I mean, they don't turn that stuff down.
I was told by somebody that knows things to expect another meeting where there'll be a press conference and everybody gets to meet this guy, and then they'll do another one in Ashburn with all the local media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. We're it's getting close, but it's there's still procedural stuff, but that doesn't mean that you should be concerned.
As a Maryland guy, do you take a little bit of pleasure in knowing that Duke team, Brian Davis and Christian Laettner, like, you know, kind of, it's gone better for the Terps alums than it has for the Dukey alums over about a 20-year period from that game?
I suppose. As a Maryland guy that knows, so, I mean, Harris grew up in, if Harris went to public school, he would have gone to the same high school I went to. There's some crazy, like, there's an old Washington Post article about him and Mark Eyne and the park they grew up playing basketball at, that we played basketball there as kids and then drank 40s there in high school. Like, I know, at least geographically, I know these people.
And instead of going into investment funds, you went into sports talk radio, JP. Unbelievable.
We went down different paths, certainly. Do you think next week we're back out there for more OTAs? Chase will be there.
I would probably lean no. I mean, I would guess he sits out most of the on-field stuff except for minicamp. And I'm curious about Montez. He's probably the same. Maybe Leno drops by. I think once you commit to not doing the on-field stuff, I mean, it's just 3 weeks of it. Like, there's almost no point in making all the headlines and then coming for two of them. I think once you commit to shutting it down, you're shutting it down for all three. I could be very wrong. He's in the neighborhood. He knows where it is. He knows how to drop by. But I think mini camp's probably where you're seeing him. And one programming note on that, I'm sure you guys have mentioned this, mini camp's a week earlier this year. They're doing mini camp before the final week of OTAs. That's one of your new Eric Bieniemy switches this year.
I did notice that. It's 2 weeks of OTAs, then mini camp. Do you think they maybe don't come back for that last week of OTAs?
No, my understanding is it's he wants to clean up, like, watch the mini camp film at the fourth week of OTAs, right? Like, so it's not like, hey, we did this big thing and then I don't see you for 6 weeks. It's, hey, we're doing this big thing and then I'm going to see you next week and we're going to talk about it. Which, I don't know, makes sense to, like Eric Bieniemy's in the honeymoon phase. It'd be like Harris. Like, anything Harris says at that opening press conference, it was not, and be like, yeah, you're smart. You know what you're doing. Sure. Eric Bieniemy still got that benefit of the doubt with me, right? Like, he's like, why don't we do it this way? I'm like, sure, you're a smart human being who has two Super Bowl rings. Let's do it that way.
Do you find it a little surprising that Ron is just so willing to let Bieniemy be in charge of everything?
No, I don't. He gave Scott Turner a lot of autonomy, too. Obviously, it's on a totally different level with Eric Bieniemy. I think, like, I mean, full-on, like, truthful Ron, I think, would tell you he knows that this is it. This is his last year's coach of the Washington Commanders. Like, there's very little that could happen that will change that in any tangible way. I think it's an opportunity for him to, you know, I don't know if mentor is the right word because he really is letting Bieniemy call the shots here, but play a role in something he really does believe in, which is giving coaching opportunities to guys who, for whatever reason, are being denied coaching opportunities. You know, he's got a lot of that on his staff, and I think Eric Bieniemy fits in that camp. Like, not that this is some kind of charity project, like it definitely isn't, but I think he sees it as a good thing he can do for the league and the coaching pipeline.
Philly, appreciate the time. You got fun plans for Memorial Day?
You know, the pool opens, and both my girls are on the swim team and love going to the pool. The weather's not trending the right direction here, JP. The beers will still be just as cold, but the water might be colder.
That is true. Enjoy the pool. If I know you, you might have a cocktail or two. Enjoy that as well, buddy.
Yes, sir. Take care, JP.
That's our guy, Mike Phillips. Check him out at Michael P. RTD. My boy, Mike Beasley, it's a Mike hour. Mike and Mike hour. My boy, Mike Beasley from MGM National Harbor, red hot. He's going to join us at 12:45 with some picks. Don't forget, 1 o'clock, phone lines open up. Bleep you Thursday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Plug those headphones in, son. Can we talk about Toby just dominating that update real quick?
It's pretty easy to read off your phone, JP.
Man, was that a shot at other people, Landfill?
No, it's not. No.
I don't know.
It's not a shot at anyone. I'm just saying, I'm reading right off my phone right here.
Person beef.
I'm not sure that Toby took a shot at other people, but when I went, ha, that was a shot.
Toby, you killed that, man.
Appreciate it.
That was impressive, man.
I was expecting a Jeff distraction, but I didn't get one, so I was able to stay focused.
I mean, well, that's a damn miracle because he's distracting all of us pretty much all the time.
Okay, where's the closest bus stop so I can get ready to jump under it since all of y'all throwing me under it right now?
Landfill, I want to talk about something. David Aldridge is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. David Aldridge knows things about the NBA. Tonight we're going to watch Heat Celtics. Clearly the Heat have built something that is hard to emulate elsewhere in the league. Most of the NBA is very much star-driven. The Heat have truly built a culture-driven franchise. I'd say Jimmy Butler's a star, but there are those that don't want to. I think those are incorrect. Wizards made a big hire yesterday, and I want to at least discuss it. I am not going to sit here and tell you I know much about Michael Winger. I don't. But what I am encouraged by is that this is somebody outside of the organization. When they finally got rid of Ernie. Took forever. They finally got rid of Ernie. And then they hired Tommy, who was his number two. And they did kind of the same thing with the Caps. When they finally got rid of McPhee, they hired McClellan. Now with the Caps, it's pretty much worked. Forever, just good teams. Having Ovi and Backstrom helps a lot. But this hire yesterday, Michael Winger, is interesting to me because they've stepped outside of kind of their area of familiarity and hired somebody completely different. So I wanted to read some from David Aldridge. David Aldridge in The Athletic. You can find this article wherever. This is a major step in the right direction for the Wizards, who unofficially hired Michael Winger from the Clippers on Wednesday to run the show in D.C. Who knows if Winger, with extensive experience on the contract negotiation and analytics side of teams in L.A., Oklahoma City, and Cleveland, will be able to turn things around here. He is not, people who've worked with him and know him say, someone who's going to travel with the team on the road and glad hand them when they enter the locker room after wins. He may not even be at games. He is not a scouting bird dog. He will have to hire a general manager to do all of that. He was team counsel for both the Cavaliers and Thunder. He is not a basketball guy in the traditional sense. For those that are unaware, team counsel means lawyer. But none of that matters, or at least it doesn't matter all that much right now. What matters is that we know, finally, that winning and losing matters to Leonsis, the Wizards' governor. We know that it's not okay that the Wizards continue to scrape the bottom of the NBA barrel, meandering through seasons with no long-range notion for how they plan to escape from the league's dregs. This is a positive step, and apparently a full rebuild is on the table. I don't know how you go into a full rebuild with the Brad Beal contract. He's got a no trade. Apparently, if he does agree to a trade, he gets a raise. Kuzma and Porzingis are free agents. If it was up to me, I don't think I would bring either back. I would look to completely rebuild this thing. But I am encouraged by the step that was taken. I am encouraged that they've gone outside the building. Now, I saw Bickle tweet this last night or this morning that Winger is not just in charge of the Wizards, but he's in charge of all of Monumental Basketball, and that includes the Mystics, the Go-Go, and the Wizards. Seems like a lot to do. And I would argue maybe make the Wizards the most important component of that. But I just like that they are trying something completely different. And I like this part. This is from DA in his article on The Athletic. Leonsis, a source said, wanted someone who'd take big swings in a big market. It's not a coincidence that Winger has been in L.A. the last few years. Leonsis wanted someone who knew how to recruit blue-chip talent to a big city, who had relationship with the game's top agents and agencies, like CAA, Excel, and Clutch. And he allowed that there may be a need for fresh eyes on his basketball team, that someone from the outside needed to tell him what he didn't know and what he needed to prioritize. Winger has assurances that Leonsis will go into the luxury tax, if necessary, down the road. Winger handled contract negotiations for the Clippers, as well as making sure, as one league source said Wednesday, that everyone in the organization felt safe in their working spaces, from Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to low-level staffers. He was a big-picture guy who saw how all the disparate parts of what are now billion-dollar companies can and have to work in concert with one another, from player development to HR, security, to medical staff. Here's what I read here, and I don't want to oversimplify. They're not put themselves in position to sign Kevin Durant when he became a free agent. They created the cap space. They had the room. Durant wouldn't even take the meeting. And maybe there is something underlying where players that grow up here don't want to be here. It can be, there can be a lot of pitfalls for a young man that becomes very rich in his hometown, and I understand that. But he wouldn't even take the meeting. And you know what else I read here? Kawhi Leonard, when he was leaving Toronto, do you guys remember that? They won the ring in Toronto. Kawhi Leonard's probably, at that moment, the best basketball player on the planet. Whole world had him going to the Lakers. Whole world. And he signed with the Clippers. And maybe some of that is, I think we've learned Kawhi kind of does his own thing. He marches to his own drum. But if this dude, Winger, had any part in the Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers, and this dude, Winger, can get on the phone with the most powerful agents in the NBA, is it Rich Paul that's LeBron's guy that runs Clutch, I believe, right? His name's Rich Paul?
Yeah.
Clutch sent me some dope gear, by the way. Shout out to Clutch. Do you think Tommy Shepard was getting these dudes? Not that they wouldn't return his calls, anything like that. Everyone's professional. But this dude got it done. I don't know who represents Kawhi Leonard. But in the span of 3 months when the Clippers built what they thought was going to be their title-contending team, they signed Kawhi and traded for Paul George. Those are the big moves. I like Kuz. He's a good player. Re-signing Kyle Kuzma was not a big move. The Porzingis trade, I like Porzingis. I'd be very scared with his injury history to give him a ton of money right now on a year that looks like an outlier where he played many more games than normally. Give me the big swings. And if that means this looks modest for 2 years, and then who's a young player whose contract could be coming up? What's my guy's name in Minnesota? The guard. Maybe you get somebody like that. Like there are players out there where you can turn this thing around and make it really exciting. And I don't know that the Wiz are going to do it. And I don't know anything about Michael Winger. But I'm excited that he's been in places where that kind of stuff has happened. And I want that kind of stuff to happen here. If David Aldridge tells me this is a good move for the organization, I'm on board. The DA stamp of approval in that league means a hell of a lot to this guy. 1 o'clock, Bleep You Thursday. All right. I'm going to try to make you guys some money if you're listening. Don't listen to me for stock tips. I don't know anything about Bonds, Barry Bonds, hell of a hitter. Jadakiss Bonds impressed me at rookie minicamp. I know about betting, though, and I know when somebody's hot, never get up from a hot blackjack table. That's what I know. You know who's hot? Mike Beasley, our guy at MGM National Harbor. Beas, what up, man?
What up, JP Finley? What are you doing, pal?
So Jeff's job is to call you and get you on the show, and then Jeff just kept talking to you, so I had to just keep waiting till it was my turn to talk to you. What kind of what kind of con was Jeff trying to run there?
Well, he's trying to make me get the Josiah Gray thing set up because, I think I put that line at minus 4,000. If he comes from any kind of a swing, even if he tries to make a bunt attempt, I don't think he makes contact. JoJo doesn't think he makes contact. And if he has any kind of where he has to rotate his hands at all, he's got no chance, he says. No chance. He'll brush him inside the first time, and that guy will be so scared. So it's he's got no chance.
He's got no chance.
And I love you, Jeff, because, you know, I'm going to go to the LIV Tour and play on the turf this week, so I can't wait for that golf tournament.
What'd you think of Jeff's Jeff's golf preview?
You know, he didn't do a lot of research, so let's put it that way.
Now, I did tell him not to do any research, but he really took that to heart.
No, I agree. So, he's beautiful. You know, you can't buy that kind of entertainment.
No, sure can't. And we're going to have somebody, a listener on Twitter suggested we have Jeff give us a Stanley Cup preview. Is that finalized yet? I know the Panthers are in. Is Vegas done yet?
No, Vegas has got to win tonight, which is one of my plays that I'll be giving out tonight.
All right.
And you know why.
Before we get to all the plays, tell everybody that you are legitimately red hot. You have won 12 in a row betting the hockey?
Yeah, 12. I made 12 in a row last night. So, yeah, 12 in a row, and it's just a trend. I mean, I'm an analytical kind of guy when I make my bets, and I like to ride trends. I don't like to bet against them. And right now, I really like the spot tonight. I mean, it's not only 12 in a row. It's 17-4. It's just big numbers over the playoffs. I want to say it's running 71% overall for the hockey playoffs. But it's running just a tad bit over 80% just over the last 21 games. So, and it's 12-0, and I can't see how you go against it. You can make a lot of money that way.
But you are laying heavy juice on this trend, right?
You're right, right. So, you know, the thing is when you have a big percentage like that, and you'll get some of these puck lines at minus 160, but the average is right about 220 maybe. Dallas is a must-win tonight, but it's I take the team that's, 3-0 going in, trying to lock it out. I mean, how much energy does Dallas have? I mean, they looked horrible, and I'm not a big hockey guy. They looked horrible in the third game of that play of the playoffs here. So the play is Vegas plus 1.5, minus 245.
So
take it to the bank is all I can say.
I mean, 12-0 is 12-0, dude. You've been texting me every night, and I think it's awesome. How much action you got on a regular night?
Oh, that's a good question, kid.
and I don't mean with the ladies. I mean with the bets.
Now, that's Jeff. You know, and I wanted to put the number on that. You said how many girls is he going to hit on?
Yeah.
I would say there's not really an actual number. It's 95 to 97%. anyone that accidentally looks this way, so, oh, she's looking at me. And so he's 95%. My action, I'll run. It's not heavy, but I mean, I have a budget I stay within. I keep within my guidelines. I take a certain percentage and play with it. I don't go outside of my bankroll. I want to say $4,000 to $6,000 a night, I'd say.
Wow.
In action.
Well, I more meant how many bets, not the dollar amount, but damn, good for you, Bees.
I think that's about right. Maybe it's a little high. Maybe I'm trying to show off, but.
It's cool with me.
It can get anywhere from there, but maybe so, 2 to 4, actually. But okay. Anyhow, I'll have probably 6 to 7 bets max.
Okay. Landfill, Bees is betting about $5K a night. What is your typical action in an evening?
$6 or $7.
Over how many bets?
Like 12.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. So I think you could call that opposite ends of the spectrum. Bees, you know our guy PFT commenter that comes on the show with us usually every Friday. Are you aware of the parlay he put in?
I am not. I did not hear that one.
Okay, so when the Heat were up 3-0 and the Panthers were up 3-0, he put in Heat to win the Eastern Conference, Panthers to win the Eastern Conference. He bet $10,000. $10,000 to win $1,100. How do you feel about that wager?
Yeah, that's a lot of chalk. I mean, you got two teams that are supposed to win the series. You hate to lose that game. Can Boston be rejuvenated? Can they do the what no one's done out there before? I think so, unfortunately. The other Vegas boy likes Miami +8 tonight. I like the under a little bit with the clinch game back in Boston. I think both teams D it up a little bit, which is hard for me to see in the NBA because I think they forget what that is.
We got to run here so I don't get assassinated. But I meant to text you about this. Nick Offerman is somebody I love, and is he at the? He's at your place this weekend, right?
Yeah, Nick Offerman's at our place. It'll be, I think it's Friday night show.
I would love to go. I'm probably not going to make it, but I want you to know that I'm paying attention, and you got something I'm into.
Yeah, we got so many good shows coming around the corner. We had some past shows. We had Smokey Robinson, which people kind of laugh at a little bit because he's like in mid-80s or early 80s, but he put on one heck of a show
for
us. Dude,
he's a hell of a showman. I would never laugh at that. You'd have to be an idiot.
We got our big gun coming in June 6th and 7th, which is Bruno Mars. Show that sells out every time. I think we may still have tickets, but highly, if we did, I wouldn't be surprised.
What about tickets for me to Bruno?
JP, do I ever say no to you?
And not Jeff, more importantly.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm going to get that text. I'm like, you sure I can't get to
you? So, we got to run, dude. Where are you watching games tonight?
I don't know. My boy just bought a new house, so I'll probably be helping him do some stuff. So here's my play for the day. I like the Nats over, and it's over 3.5. They hit lefties pretty good. They're going against Blake Snell. The Nats are hitting the ball, which is good and bad for me. So
I like it. Nats and the puck line. Get rich with Mike Beasley. Thank you, buddy. I always appreciate you calling in.
See you, pal.
All right. That's our guy, Mike Beasley. As far as I know, he has no social media. But if you ever go over to MGM National Harbor, he'll make you laugh hard for hours. Jeff, open the phones. Release the hounds. It is time for Bleep You Thursday. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. Whoever you're mad at, whatever you're mad at, now is the time we're all in it together, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.